Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, holy saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. I am your brother in Christ. I am your servant in the Lord, and I go by the moniker Radio Reformer. Radio Reformer, doing my little bit, my little part in this ongoing Reformation. And you know, we love the Lord. We love the Lord. We just love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to do everything possible to defend his gospel. Defend it. Defend it to the death if need be. Defend it to the death. Defend it to the death. We've lost everything for Christ's sake. When you decide to open your mouth, when you decide to speak truth to power, you better get ready to pay a big price. And I've paid that price. I paid it. And will continue to pay it. Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ and I love his people. I love the souls of men, and I love truth. And it is out of that love for Christ, love for his church, love for the souls of unregenerate men, and for the love of truth, here I stand. Martin Luther at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther said this, unless I am convinced by the proofs from Scripture, or by plain and clear reasons and arguments, I can and will not retract. For it is neither safe nor wise to do anything against conscience. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. He was told to recant, to say it was all a lie, it was all a mistake. His 95 thesis was, it's all a big mistake. And he says, I can't do that. I can't do that. Here I stand. And so here we are today in studio today. And by the way, that was an instrumental version of the hymn of the Reformation. A mighty fortress is our God. And so here we are in studio, ready to present proposition number 9 to you. Please note, dear saints of God, that all of these propositions are short, and they are all scripture-based, as you can see, because in each broadcast, everything we say here, we back it up by scripture. So they're short, they're scripture-based, they are designed to tear down this Episcopal Tower of Babel that these members of the Joint College of African American Bishops are currently building, and it's soaring. I mean, the Joint College of Bishops, their Episcopal Tower of Babel is, I have to admit, it is soaring. It is soaring. More people are joining. More people are signing up to become a bishop. They're gaining. I mean, it's a movement. But it is a movement that's going nowhere. Because when God shows up and he confounds them, it'll all come to naught. So right now, you can hear them. I mean, the construction site, the Tower of Babel is going up. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of high-fiving. They're getting more workers. They're getting more ministers to believe in the lie of elevation. And the tower is soaring. Remember, in Genesis 11, it says, and God took note of what they were doing and how the tower was going up, up, up. And the Bible says as the tower was going up, 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 God came down and confounded their languages. So we're just waiting for God to show up and give them a heavy dose of what they deserve, which is confusion, so that this stupid thing that they're building, because it's just stupid, it's just asinine, so that this dopey thing that they're building can come down. I want to welcome all of our listeners. And we have listeners from all over the world. That's the beauty. That is the beauty of internet radio, that we can connect with people far and wide. Far and wide. And we've connected magnificently all around the world. In North America, Canada, United States. And, of course, we've only connected with countries that are English-speaking. We only do English-speaking broadcast. So they're tuning in from Norway, and there are many in Germany who listen to us, and England. And so not France yet. We're hoping that some English-speaking people in France will tune in. I know France is dealing with this foolishness called episcopacy. They're dealing with it all around the world. It's an end-time satanic movement, demonic. It's of Satan. It's designed to usher in the Antichrist. But we're gonna do our best to fight the good fight of faith. Please note, my dear brothers and sisters, that tomorrow night we have an outstanding program for you, as we do every Friday. You know, on Fridays, we are so privileged to have with us a phenomenal researcher, Sister Marie. And she is my co-host on Fridays, and we just come in and we talk about the Lord, and we talk about what is going on around the world, how the church is being affected negatively around the world. And so she's going to be with us tomorrow. And the topic tomorrow is censorship. How the devil is planning to silence the church in America. How he is already at work to muzzle people like me and Sister Marie, to Susan Puzio over there at Prophetic News, and Sister Jackie Arnold over there at her network. And Satan is looking to muzzle God's people so that we would not speak out against sin, or we would not speak concerning the end times. And so that we would not speak out against the Ramish church, the anti-Christian church. And so Satan is afoot. He's fast at work. He's going to and fro to silence God's people. So tomorrow's broadcast is on this very important topic that most are not paying attention to, which is, what is Satan doing, and how Satan is stirring up people in politics, in places of power, to introduce legislation to shut down the church, to promote tolerance and kumbayaism. Kumbayaism is my term for ecumenism. Let's just all sit under one big tent and let's all worship. Let's all worship together, whether you're the Dalai Lama, or whether you're some American Indian shaman, makes no difference. We can all come together. Or whether you're a Buddhist, we can all come together. Or if you're some nut job priest, some satanic priest, we can all worship the same God. I'm not into kumbayaism. I'm not going to sit with you. If you are going to expect that, that'll happen when hell freezes over. And as you know, hell will never freeze over, because God made hell to burn forever. So what, when I say when hell freezes over, I'm telling you that's never going to happen, because God will never let hell freeze over, because he's the sovereign Lord. He's the sovereign Lord. Well, that's tomorrow's broadcast. You don't want to miss it. Sister Marie, Sister Marie is, when she comes, she just blows us away. She has so many audio clips and so much good stuff. You don't want to miss tomorrow's broadcast. And as you know, Fridays is a call-in broadcast. We allow you to call in now. If you act silly, if you are disrespectful, we allow you to, you can be dissenting. You can have a different opinion, but you have to present your dissenting opinion with respect. If you get silly, if you get stupid, if you start acting asinine, then we put you on mute. That's all. Because I control all of the phone calls from the studio. So if you act silly, if you get out of hand, we'll put you on mute, and then we will remind you that you need to behave yourself, and we're going to put your phone back on. But if you act stupid again, if you're having a stupid attack, if you're having a stupid seizure, then we will disconnect you. We don't permit stupid attacks and stupid seizures. We don't permit that here. So we don't mind a dissenting opinion. You are welcome to come and present your dissenting opinion, but you're going to do it with class. You're going to do it with class. You're going to do it with class. Because if you don't, we have the power to silence you. We have the power. And like I said, I'll debate anybody. But you have to do it with a measure of intelligence. You have to know what you're talking about. And you have to do it academically. Don't start quoting scriptures out of context. Because then I'll have to put you on hold and tell you in a very nice way, you're having a retardation attack. And this is an academic program. We don't like retards on this program. No. And I'm not politically correct. The Oxford Dictionary has the word retarded in it. I have all kinds of dictionaries. You mention a dictionary, I have it in my library. And I've looked up this word retarded, and it's everywhere. And I like the word retarded. Back when I was a kid, we used it a lot. Back in the day when school kids could take bullying, because today they can't take bullying. Back in the day when they would call you everything under the sun, including retard. You're a retard. And you had to suck it up. There were no sissified school children in my day. And in my day, after they called you retard, they said, "Hey, retard, I'll be waiting for you in the schoolyard at 3 o'clock so I can knock the stupidity out of you." That's what they would say. And at that time, you had to man up. If you were in the second grade, third grade, fourth grade, you had to man up. You couldn't go to the bathroom on yourself. Why? Because your reputation was on the line. You had to be out there at 3 o'clock ready to dish it out. Those were the good old days. Today, everybody's sissified. Everybody's politically correct. I love the good old days. I love the good old days. Where your father stood there and the other kid's father stood there, and they let you wail at each other until there was a winner. And your father was there in case the other guy's father tried to interfere and give his kid the upper hand. And then if that happened, then the two dads would go at it. They would never call the police. And then if the two dads got on it, and the mothers were there, and they got silly, forget it. It was a Royal Rumble. Those were the good old days. And then here, the two kids are fighting, the two dads are fighting, the two moms are fighting, and now the two family dogs are getting at it. Those were the good old days. That was a good when you can kick someone's can and kick it good. Remember you used to say, I'm going to kick your can? Oh, those were the good old days. But those days are gone. Those days are gone. Now you have to be tolerant. You have to give in to kumbayaism. Everybody has to get in the same boat and throw flower petals at each other. And hugging. Don't hug me. I don't like. Stop hugging me. You go to these churches and they say, hug seven people. No, I don't want anybody groping on me. I never seen that. I've been in church all my life. What is this thing about you hugging people? Hug seven people. Hug seven people. And they're groping. No, this touchy-feely gospel, no. Need to be careful with that. Need to be careful with that. Well. Now that I'm old and grizzly, I'm a junkyard dog. The Lord's got me on a leash. He's got me on this heavy chain. And all I can do is I can chase you as far as I can because I'm on a chain. It's a long chain. I can chase you pretty far. You know, I can't get to you. But I would love to get to you because I like to do more than just bark and chase you. I like to bite you. I like to take some meat off. That's what I like to do. See, Martin Luther, the reformer, had it great. I mean, he can bark, he can chase, he could bite. But those days are gone. We can just chase and bark, but the Lord's got me on a leash. But you know, He's gonna let me off soon. He's gonna let me off. I'm waiting for one of these donkey bishops over there at the Joint College to say, I'll debate you, radio reformer. And boy, will the Lord let me off my leash. And then I'll be back in the good old days, kicking some can. Kicking some can. Oh, it feels good to kick some can. Yes, it does. Oh, it does. It does. It feels great. It feels great. I remember back in the day at PS15 and then PS30 and then junior high school 142. Boy, you would kick some can when the bell rang. And all the kids knew. I mean, they're all running out to the schoolyard. They're grabbing your bag. They're grabbing your coat. Remember in the day when the girls used to put Vaseline on their face? Used to tie up their hair and then put Vaseline all over their face. That's what the girls used to do. Because girls, when they fought, they had nails. Putting Vaseline on their face in case they got scratched. Oh, those were the good old days. Fight, 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 fight. Not anymore, not anymore, not anymore. But here we are in studio. Here we are in studio. Loving the Lord Jesus. And listen, I, when I'm fighting for the Lord. When I'm talking about, you know, chasing and barking and biting, I'm a grizzly old sheepdog. Barking at the wolves, chasing the wolves, biting on the wolves. That's all I'm doing. So here we are in studio, folks. Here we are in studio. And what are we here to do today? Well, we're here to present another proposition. Another stinging bullet point. Designed. To bring down that Episcopal Tower of Babel, known as the Joint College of African American Dopey Bishops. I can't believe the stupidity over there. I mean, stupidity is like a disease over there. Just like a disease. So tomorrow we'll have a break. You'll have to wait till Saturday to get Proposition Number 10. But listen, it's a good wait because these Friday broadcasts are off the chain, like they say. They're just off the chain. People can't get enough of these Friday broadcasts. They just love them. Sister Maria's phenomenal. She's just phenomenal. And I enjoy having her on the broadcast, and I've even encouraged her to take on more of the load because I'm sure that the people really, 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 really appreciate all that she does. And she's a gift of God to the body of Christ, and we appreciate her and love her in the Lord. Well, saints, I need you to tell other people about this broadcast. I need you to tell other people about this 95 thesis. This year marks the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And marked this coming October 31st, 2017, just a couple of months away, will mark the 500th anniversary when Martin Luther nailed to the Wittenberg Castle Door Church his famed 95th thesis. And this is the year for Reformation. This is a year to do battle. This is a year, if there was a year to earnestly contend for the faith, this is it. This is it. We should not be asleep at the wheel this year. Or any year for that matter, but more so this year. So I want to encourage you to help me spread the word. The best advertisement is word of mouth. And my question to you is, are you enjoying the broadcast? And I'm sure you're saying yes. Then my next question to you would be, who have you told about the broadcast? Who have you told? Have you passed the broadcast on to someone else? Have you informed someone else of these broadcasts? Have you told your bishop? You know, listen. You may be afraid. You just may be afraid to tell your bishop, hey, I'm listening to this broadcast, and, you know, I mean, it's just phenomenal. You may be afraid for, you know, you don't want to be blacklisted. You love your church. You want to keep going to your church. It's your church. I get it. And you're afraid that if you tell him, he'll blacklist you and make your life miserable. But this is what you can do. You can drop him an anonymous letter and say, you should tune in to these broadcasts. Here is the URL number that you need to type into your computer search bar. And listen to, you can drop him an anonymous letter. Hey, Bishop, check this out. I think this would do your soul a lot of good because, in my opinion, Bishop, you're headed in the wrong direction. Now, he can probably surmise who sent him the letter, but, you know, if the church is 500 to 1,000 members, even a church of 1,000, he won't figure it out. But if you love his soul and you see that he's going down the wrong path, it behooves you to tell him. And how many family members do you know? How many family members do you know that are getting involved with this Episcopal foolishness? These broadcasts, they're not here to entertain anybody. They're here to warn people, to educate people, to empower people. That's what these broadcasts are all about. So I need you to help me spread the word. I'm not happy with the fact that we are reaching people in Canada, that we're reaching them in England, that we're reaching them in Norway. Boy, we get a lot of people from Norway. that were reaching them in Germany, that were reaching them here from coast to coast in the United States. We need more people to be tuning in because, you know, this Episcopal movement is a pandemic, not an epidemic. It's not an epidemic. It's not a disease that is moving in a regional manner. No. This is a pandemic. This is a disease that now has become global. The entire body of Christ, the body of Christ, is undergoing this pandemic. You can no longer say that this is something just that's happening in the United States. No, this thing has gone global. It's a global pandemic. It's what I call the purple plague. Purple because the bishops are dressed in purple. I call it scarlet fever because the archbishops are dressed in scarlet. So, saints, we're here to do God's work. Help me spread the word. And also tell people about the website, paganbishops.com, and of our two books, Jackass Church Bishops and Nehushtan Church Bishops. Jackass Church Bishops and Nehushtan Church Bishops. Well, let's go to Proposition number nine. And this is what Proposition number nine states. And as you can see, dear saints, all of these go in a logical order. They're all logical. Each one of these propositions that we present to you, each new proposition is building on the former propositions. They're like links in a chain. They all go together. So, proposition number nine. Further proof that the Joint College of African American Bishops is linked to ancient Babel and continues to operate in a state of perpetual spiritual confusion can be seen in the fact that this organization continuously seeks ministerial validation from the Roman Pontiff, the head in church, and not Christ Jesus, the head of God's one true church. Let me read that again. Further proof. What I'm doing is I'm presenting you with further evidence. Further proof that the Joint College of African American Bishops is linked to ancient Babel and continues to operate in a state of perpetual spiritual confusion can be seen in the fact that this organization continuously seeks ministerial validation from the Roman Pontiff, the head of Satan's anti-Christian church, and not from Christ, the head of God's one true church. Let me present my argument for today. Let me just show you how true this is. I'm not making any of this up. Now, in order to do so, I will now take you to the internet. And there is an article in the internet. There's an article called Everything 2000. I can send you the link if you email me. If you email me at reformationexpress@gmail.com, I can email you the link so that you can see this for yourself. Okay. Now, this was back in the year 2000. In other words, 17 years ago. Now, let me read this to you. It says, African American Pentecostals are some of the first making the trek as 107 delegates from the Cleveland-based Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops are in Rome this week for a visit. The group is on a root-searching pilgrimage emphasizing values that bind this brand of Protestantism to Roman Catholicism. So notice, back in the year 2000, there was 170 delegates. Way back then, there was 170 people who were members of this Cleveland-based Joint College of African American Bishops, and they were making their visit to Rome in order to find common ground with the Pope. I continue with the article. John Paul, and that's a reference to John Paul II. John Paul, speaking in English, told the bishops, and what bishops is he referring to? Well, the Cleveland-based bishops who are members of the Joint College of African American Bishops. John Paul, speaking in English, told the bishops at the audience that he was extending them a special welcome. And I'm quoting him now. I am confident, said John Paul, that your visit to Rome will help strengthen ecumenical relations between Catholics and Pentecostals, the Pope told the group. One of the organizers of the trip, and this is, and remember, I promised you that I would not mention names, but here's a name, and I'm just gonna bypass the name because, again, I don't want to be accused. I don't want to be accused of making this thing personal. It's not personal. Okay, one of the organizers of the trip, Bishop So-and-so, who is the assistant presiding bishop of the United States Pentecostal Churches of Christ, wondered aloud in an interview on the eve of the audience, can we in this 21st century not dwell on differences among Christians? He pondered. The pilgrimage to Rome, and I quote, is our way of saying we recognize, now this is this bishop now, our pilgrimage to Rome is one of our ways of saying we recognize the Catholic Church as our historical grandparents, said the bishop, whose church is in Baltimore, birthplace of the Roman Catholic Church in the United States. Now, this assistant presiding bishop of the United Pentecostal Churches of Christ, who happens to be a member of the Joint College of African American Bishops, said this, and this is what's so mind blowing about this statement. He said, our pilgrimage to Rome is our way of saying we recognize the Catholic Church as our historical grandparents. Now, what have I told you in previous propositions? Aren't these members of the Joint College of African American Bishops? Did I not tell you that they were connected to Babel? Did not I make that case? Did I not tell you that their succession comes from Nimrod? Here's this guy who's an inside member of the Joint College of African American Bishops. He says, It is our way of saying we recognize the Catholic Church as our historical grandparents. In other words, we succeed. We come out of the African. We Africans, American bishops, scarlet garments, we acknowledge that we are historically connected to pagan Rome, who is historically connected to ancient Babylon. That's what he's saying. It goes on to say, the article, the bishops will attend seminars at the Pontifical College, where U.S. seminarians study and participate Sunday in the service in a Catholic church in Rome, where many U.S. expatriates worship. The leader of the Cleveland Catholic Diocese, Bishop So-and-so, helped arrange the pilgrimage. Oh, he helped it. He helped organize it. Okay, okay. So we're going to leave it there. We're going to leave it there. We got out of this article what we were looking for. And what we were looking for, is for them to confess that the Roman Catholic Church is their historical grandparents. In other words, they can go all the way back to Genesis 11, to Nimrod, to the first Tower of Babel. Okay? Now, that is the one of the articles. Now, here's another article that I want you to listen to. And this one is entitled Evangelical Protestants Praise the Pope for His Legacy. Evangelical Protestants praise the Pope for his legacy. Now, the Pope being made reference to in the article is John Paul II, and he had just died. He had just died. So let me read to you the article. And again, if you want this link, just email me at reformationexpress@gmail.com. If you would like to read this for yourself, and I would be more than happy, and I would encourage you to read this for yourself. Evangelical Protestants praise the Pope for his legacy. Let me begin reading the article. It says, U.S. Protestant leaders praised John Paul II's efforts to foster greater Christian unity and fight the global culture wars, areas on which they often agree with the late Roman Catholic pontiff despite other theological differences. The article goes on to say, John Paul died April 2nd at age 84 after battling the flu and breathing problems for several weeks. Now, Bishop so-and-so, president of the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, visited the Vatican several times during John Paul's papacy and called him a man of prayer and deep devotion. Let me read that to you. Let me read that paragraph again. Bishop so-and-so, president of the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, visited the Vatican several times during John Paul's papacy and called him a man of prayer and deep devotion. Now, let me stop there. Who did John Paul II pray to? And he made no secret about it. Who did he direct all of his prayers to? To Mary, the Mother of God. Because he claims that it was Mary, the Mother of God, who saved him when the assassin shot him. It was Mary. So, John Paul II made no secret that he bypassed Jesus and went directly to Mary. So, when this president of the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops says he was a man of prayer. Yeah, of idolatrous prayer, because he was praying to Mary. And if you look at the Hebrew word for prayer in all of its shades, and the Greek word for prayer in all of its shades, prayer is made exclusively to the one true God. We don't pray to saints. We don't pray to angels. We don't pray to the martyrs. We don't pray to the apostles. We pray to God. Because that's what we're told in the Old and the New Testament. Prayer is to be made exclusively to God. Not to the dead. Not to the martyrs. Not to Mary. Not to Mary Magdalene. Not to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. All prayer is to be made exclusively to God, who alone is God. You see, this is why when this bishop says, when this bishop, the president, mind you, this is the president, of the Joint College of African Americans. He was a man. He testifies. He gives John Paul II his kudos. Oh, he was a man of prayer. Yeah, but who's he praying to? To the saints. To Mary, whom this Pope called co-redemptrix. In other words, it's Mary and Jesus together as a tag team that redeem us. See, their doctrine is different. Mary is not co-redemptrix. Oh, but that's what John Paul II was pushing. That's what he was pushing. In fact, this president of the Joint College of African American Bishops, he can now pray. He can now get on his knees. This Cushite preacher, this Hamite, can now get on his knees and pray to John Paul II, because now John Paul II is a saint. He's just been canonized. So who knows? Who knows if this bishop is on his knees praying to John Paul II? Who knows? I'm just speculating. Now, this president of the Joint College of African American Bishops goes on to say this, but he also, referring to John Paul II, but he also was a pope that reached out as far as he could afford to reach, This bishop told the Religion News Service he reached out to other faith groups in an effort to create a sense of peace between us. A peace. This president of the Joint College of African American Bishops, he wants peace. He wants peace. Now, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say in Matthew 12? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to bring war between mother and daughter, son and father. Theological war. You see, it's only the ecumenists, it's only those who are involved in kumbayaism that want peace. But you can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. The peace this man, this bishop, this president is pushing is anti-Christian peace, a fleeting peace that not even Antichrist, who promises, can deliver. Only the Prince of Peace, Jesus. So, again, this bishop says, but he was also a pope that reached out as far as he could reach out, as far as he could afford to reach. He reached out to other faiths, yeah, like the Dalai Lama, and to American Indian shaman, and to Muslims. Yeah, John Paul, he had a big tent. He invited everybody. Everybody in their crazy prayers, everyone in their demonic doctrines, he invited. Oh, he reached out to other faith groups in an effort to create a sense of peace between us. We're going to leave it there, folks. We're going to leave it there. Well, no. Let me read a little more. Here is this bishop again. Now, let me quote him. This is the bishop now. This is the president of the Joint College of African American Bishops, who's been the president. He's been their only president. They've only had one president, has the Joint College of African American Bishops. According to the article, he said, we stood there, speaking of him, his colleagues, and the Pope. We stood there and talked about 5 minutes about the Pentecostal community in America and throughout the world. And I told him, we thank God. Now, is this guy crazy? And I told the Pope, we thank God for his openness and his willingness to at least acknowledge our coexistence with our Roman brothers and sisters, recalled the president. Thank you for waving at us. Thank you for acknowledging us. You see, Let me go back to the proposition. Let me go back to the proposition. Proposition 9. Further proof that the Joint College of African American Bishops is linked to ancient Babel. Now, that was already proven when I read to you the first article where the assistant presiding bishop said, he said, we acknowledge our historical connection to Rome. Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, is our grandparents. So, again, further proof that the Joint College of African American Bishops is linked to ancient Babylon. They confess it. They do not deny it. And what do? As a result of showing that they are linked to ancient Babylon or Babel, they continue to operate in a state of perpetual spiritual confusion. They're confused. Not only were the original people from Babel confused, but the confusion continues. It continues in their spiritual descendants. They are operating in a state of perpetual spiritual confusion can be seen in the fact that this organization continually seeks ministerial validation from the Roman pontiff. How many pilgrimages? How many trips? How many trips? How many treks? How many visits? How many visits has the Joint College of African American Bishops made to Rome in order to be the Pope's lapdogs? How many? They keep going back in hopes that every new Pope, first John Paul II, then Benedict XVI, now this Francis, they're hoping that all of these Popes will give them validation. We recognize you. But who is the Pope? Who is the Pope? Who is the Roman Pontiff? My dear brothers and sisters, I argue, who is the Roman Pontiff? Well, he's called the Pontifex Maximus. And when you read any Catholic encyclopedia, and I have them all, and you read every Catholic dictionary, and I have them all, and I think I have every Roman Catholic catechism, they call the Pope the Pontifex Maximus. What is that? Well, that title means pagan high priest. The pontiff, the same guy that the president of the Joint College of Bishops says, oh, we love him. He reached out to us. He looked our way. He waved at us. Oh, he waved. Look at him. Oh, it brought me to tears when he waved. When he mentioned us by name, my heart pitter-pattered. Guy's talking, the guy's talking like when those women saw the Beatles for the first time at Shea Stadium. Those girls were pulling out their hair. When the Pope looked their way, these bishops, they almost fainted. Oh, the Holy Father looked our way. Oh, he reached out to us. He made a 2-second mention of us. And that made this trip all the hours on the plane back and forth on the round trip, the spending of the money, the hotels, the exuberant hotel fees for to take 170 dopes over there, the pilgrimage that we had. I mean, you're talking about big money, folks, big money. Just to get a 2-second mention from the Pope made our hearts pitter-patter because he gave us validation. He gave us a reason to exist. You see, but who is the Roman Pontiff? Who is the Roman? Well, he's the head of Satan's anti-Christian church. These men are constantly seeking because, you know, when John Paul II died, they tried to get the same from Benedict XVI, and they're trying to get the same now from Pope Francis. They keep running, you know, and the book, Jackass Church Bishop, has a chapter on this. The chapter, and let me just read a little bit to you from the book Jackass Church Bishops, in case you did not purchase it. Let me just read to you. It's out of the chapter entitled, it's chapter 9 in the book, A Jackass is a Jackass is a Jackass. That's a chapter 9 of the book, Jackass Church Bishops. So let me read to you. On page, starting at page 116. See, because I want you to see how they're seeking validation. They just want the Pope to acknowledge them. That's what they want. Seeking validation. So, page 116, the header reads, "Acting asinine won't get these jackasses in good with the Pope." Acting asinine won't get these jackasses in good with the Pope. I begin reading. The members of the Joint College of African American Bishops are the kind of jackasses Rome tolerates as a necessary evil in the leavening and corrupting of the end time church, but not the kind of lapdogs it wants to spend much time with. Yet these Negro fools travel constantly to Rome looking to hang with the Holy Father. The Pope may give them a token mention in an official document, a two-second photo op, and a wave from his window, but letting these drooling imbeciles take turns sitting on his lap like Santa Claus is simply out of the question. The Pope considers them all donkeys, and rightly so. That said, it doesn't stop these pompous twits from trying to endear themselves with the Romish Antichrist. Remember the official salutation John Paul II sent to the members of the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops on Wednesday, February 9th, 2000, which stated, "I extend a special welcome to the members of the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. I am confident that your visit to Rome will help to strengthen ecumenical relations between Catholics and Pentecostals. This is proof, the proverbial smoking gun, that these jackanapes are trying to get in good with the graces of the Pope. John Paul II did not travel to the United States to seek out these ninnies. They traveled to Rome to court the Pope in hopes that the pontiff would look their way and give them the time of day. This silly behavior on the part of each member of the Joint College of African American Bishops will get them nowhere fast, as this Aesopian fable wonderfully illustrates." And now I give you a story from Aesop. The story goes like this. There was once an ass, a jackass, and a lapdog that belonged to the same master. The jackass was tied up in a stable and had plenty of corn and hay to eat and was well off as a jackass could be. The little dog was always sporting and gamboling about, caressing and fawning upon his master in a thousand amusing ways, so that he became a great favorite and was permitted to lie on his master's lap. The jackass, indeed, had enough to do. He was drawing wood all day and had to take his turns at the mill at night. But while he grieved over his lot, it galled him, it bothered him to see the lapdog living in such ease and luxury, so thinking that if he acted of his master, he would fare the same. He broke one day out of his halter and, rushing into the hall where his master was sitting, began to kick and prance about in the strangest fashion, then swishing his tail and mimicking the frolics of the favorite lapdog. He upset the table where his master was at dinner, breaking it in two and smashing all of the cookery, nor would he leave off till he jumped, think about it, till the jackass jumped on his master's lap and poured upon him with his roughshod feet. The servant, seeing what the jackass had done and seeing how the master was in great danger, thought that it was now best and high time to interfere, and they took the jackass and beat him. They beat him so much, they beat the silly creature with sticks and staves, that he never got up again. And as this jackass breathed his last breath, he exclaimed, "Why could I not have been satisfied with living in the stable? Why did I attempt to do tricks and to grimace and to imitate one who was but a puppy?" My dear friends, you see, a jackass is but a jackass is but a jackass. You think the Pope is paying these people any mind? No, he's not. He tolerates them. They're a necessary evil because he wants to leaven all of Christendom. Let me go back to the book, Jackass Bishops, as I close this section of the book. It says, in closing, "The members of the Joint College of African American Bishops either fail to understand or refuse to accept that Rome views them as Negroes, and field Negroes at that, not house Negroes. Jackasses who need to be working the fields, not poodle-like prima donnas who get to have tea and biscuits with the Pope whenever they desire. In Rome's eyes, the Joint College of African American Bishops is a fourth-rate organization that will never be considered prime time. So much for playing the role of willy-nilly silly lapdog." Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's my opinion. You can go to Rome all you want. You can grovel at the Pope's feet. But you will never be one of his lapdogs until you become completely Romish. Completely. So going back to the proposition, and this is why saints, you need to get these books, Jackass Church Bishops and Nehushtan Church Bishops, because this is just powerful stuff. I say it like it is, like it is, like it is. So going back to proposition number 9, further proof that the Joint College of African American Bishops is linked to ancient Babel and continues to operate in a state of perpetual spiritual confusion can be seen in the fact that this organization continually seeks ministerial validation. That's why they keep going back. That's why they keep making the trek back to Rome. That's why they keep going to each and every pontiff. Why? Because they want validation. They want validation. Because they know they're not important. They know they're Mickey Mouse organization. And they think that by meeting with the Roman pontiff, the head of Satan's anti-Christian church, they are getting that validation. And they refuse to meet with the head of God's one true church, the Lord Jesus Christ. They refuse. They refuse to meet with Jesus, and meeting Jesus won't cost them anything. You don't have to go to Rome to meet Jesus. You don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to go meet Jesus. Jesus is right where you are. And he's not the head of the satanic anti-Christian church. He is the head of Christ, of God's. He's the head. Now, let me read to you. I have here in front of me, it's called A Catholic Dictionary. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give you quotes. I'm trying to give you a quote from the 1950s, a quote from the 1960s, a quote from the 1970s. Like I said, I can document all of this. Now, this book that I have in my hand is called The Catholic Dictionary. Its compiler is a man by the name of Donald Atwater. This was published by Macmillan Company in the year 1958. So now, I want to read to you what it says concerning the Pope. the Pope. It says, full designation is 1, Bishop of Rome, 2, Vicar of Jesus Christ, 3, Successor of the Prince of the Apostles, 4, Supreme Pontiff of the Universal Church, 5, Patriarch of the West, 6, Primate of Italy, 7, Archbishop and Metropolitan of the Roman Province, and 8, Sovereign of the State of the City of the Vatican. All right? Those are all his titles, and there's more. There's more. This is an abridged giving of his titles. Goes on to say, the Pope, as Bishop of Rome, is the successor of St. Peter, and therefore the visible head of the church on earth. The Pope is, the Bishop of Rome, is the successor of St. Peter, and therefore, what is he? What else is he? What else is he? He is the vice-regent of Christ and supreme ruler Christians, the visible head of the church. The visible head. That's from the Catholic Dictionary by Donald Atwater, published by Macmillan Press, 1958. Now, in the Maronall Catholic Dictionary, which was published by Dimension Books, and who this dictionary was compiled by Albert J. Nevins in 1965. So let me read to you. Let's see if anything changed. Who is this Pope? What do they say about the Pope? On page 450, it says, Pope, the visible head of the church founded by Jesus Christ, successor to St. Peter. The Pope rules the entire church and is infallible when he speaks ex cathedra on faith and morals. Did you get that? Okay, what is he? What is the Pope? The Pope is the visible head of the church founded by Jesus Christ. That's 1965. So what is the Pope? They call him the head. All right. We have two books, one in the 50s, one in the 60s. Now, in the 70s, we have Dictionary of the Liturgy by Reverend Jovian Lang. 1970. What's the date on this? What is the date? Oh, excuse me, 1989. So look what it says in 1989. Let's see what they say about the Pope. Let's see what they say. The Pope. Who is the Pope? It says, the common English title for the visible head of the Catholic Church derived from the Greek word papas, a colloquial child's word for father, since his authority is to be discharged in a paternal fashion. So what does the Pope mean? It is the common English title for the visible head of the Catholic Church. The visible head. Well, we got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Because God's one true church only has one head. Let me read to you two scriptures. I'm just going to go to two places in the book of Ephesians. Only two places. We don't need to go long. Just two places. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul, not the magisterium, not the authoritative teaching body of the Roman Catholic Church, not that group of demonically inspired heretics. Not that group. No, no, no. But the Apostle Paul, who was led to write this wonderful epistle by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was the Apostle Paul who said in the first chapter, in verse 22 and 23, it says, And have put all things under Christ's feet, and gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church. Christ is the head of what? Christ is the head of what? He's the head of the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all things. So my Bible, the inspired word of God, tells me that Christ is the head of the church, not Peter. Now notice the Catholic Church teaches that after Christ left, Peter became the head of the church. But there's a problem. Why? Because Christ, when Paul wrote this, Christ had already left and Peter was present. Paul never said that his contemporary apostle Peter was the head of the church. Think about that. They say Christ was originally, I'm talking about the Catholic Church, they say Christ was originally the head of the church. The head of the church. But when he left, he passed on that headship to Peter. Well, when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, in the year this letter was written, in the year 61 AD, Peter was alive. So if that's the case, why didn't Paul write that Peter was the head of the church? He said, no, Christ is the head of the church. So the Catholics, they have some explaining to do. They have some explaining to do because Christ, their teaching doesn't make any sense, doesn't make any apostolic sense. Because if Peter is now the Pope after Christ left, if you follow the Roman Catholic argument that Peter was the first Pope after Christ left, then obviously he is the visible head of the body. He's the visible head of the church. But that's not what Paul says. And Peter was alive when Paul wrote this letter in 61 AD. What does Paul say? Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He says that Christ is the head of the church. Now, in case that was an error, Paul misspoke, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. It says, but speaking the truth in love, which is what we're doing with these propositions, we told you we were going to speak the truth in love, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him, speaking of Christ, in all things, which is the head, and who is the head? Even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So twice Paul says that Christ, and not his contemporary Peter, is the head of the church. So who got it wrong? Who's all jacked up? Who's all confused? Remember, I told you that these Roman Catholics and their surrogates, like the Joint College of African American Bishops, I told you that these groups are in a perpetual state of spiritual confusion. Why? Because when the Pope is your head, when a man is your head, you know that the popes have contradicted themselves? There have been popes that have contradicted other popes. There are popes that chased other popes out of office, killed other popes once they chased them out of office. Do you know that? When they say they speak infallibly, ex cathedra, when they're talking about faith and morals, you know that that there's so many contradictions in the papal decretals. Again, they've contradicted one another. They've overturned decretals that other popes made. This is just a perpetual ball of confusion. And to seek validation from the Roman pontiff, who again, the very term pontiff is Pontifex Maximus. It's short for pontifex. It's short for pagan high priest, who is the head of Satan's anti-Christian church. Why is it anti-Christian? Because at every turn it looks to replace Christ with Nehushtans, with men it has deified. Remember that after Nimrod died, his followers deified Nimrod or canonized Nimrod. They canonized them. They turned them into a god. That's what the Babylonians did when Nimrod. Well, where do you think the Roman Catholic Church gets this thing where you take a king, where you take a monarch, and then after he's dead, you deify him, you move him up to God status? Where do you think the Roman Catholic Church got that from? From Babylon. There's only one God, folks. You can't deify dead people. Think about how stupid that is. How could you even think of deifying someone who, you know, when you're dead, you need us to embalm you. When you're dead, you need us to put makeup on you. When you're dead, you need us to dress you with the last clothes your body will ever wear. When you're dead, you need us to put you in a casket. When you're dead, you need us to lower you into the ground. When you're dead, you can't do for anybody. But yet these idiots take these dead people and turn them into gods and then pray to them. Think about how stupid that is. And that's what happens when the Roman pontiff becomes your head. When the Roman pope is to think for you and you can't think for yourself, you're in trouble. And this is why we are safe. We are safe when Christ is the head. Because when Christ is the head, then we have what? What do we have? We have wisdom. You see, as head of the church, Christ is supreme ruler. As head of the church, he is the ultimate life source. As head of the church, he is our wisdom and our knowledge. He's our head. To have a human head is to be in trouble. So, that's proposition number 9, my brothers and sisters. Do you want further proof? Do you want further proof that the Joint College of African American Bishops is linked to ancient Babel? Do you want? I just read to you an article where there was one of their leaders who says, listen, we're linked to these people historically. They're linked to Babel, and we're linked to them. They are our grandparents. They are our historical grandparents. They birthed us. I told you they were linked to ancient Babel. And not only are they linked to ancient Babel, but like Babel of old, like the Babel of Nimrod, like the Babel of Genesis 11, these organizations continue to operate in a state of perpetual confusion. Because the Roman pontiff is their head. And the Roman pontiff is the head of Satan's anti-Christian, apostate, Babylonian church. And any church who doesn't have Christ as its head is going nowhere. And these guys keep running to Rome. These jackasses want to be the Pope's lapdog. And I just read to you a parable, you know, one of Aesop's fables. He said, a jackass can't be a lapdog. A jackass can't be a lapdog. A jackass is nothing but a jackass. A jackass is in a poodle. Do you ever see rich women carrying a jackass around in a little pocketbook? No. They carry poodles. But here are these African American bishops thinking that they're all that. They will never be all that in the eyes of the Pope. He's just stringing them along, waving at them, giving them a little mention. They're nothing but jackasses. That's why I wrote the book, Jackass Church Bishops. Go to paganbishops.com, my dear brothers and sisters, and get yourself the copy of Jackass Church Bishops and the Houston Church Bishops and every other book that we released this year. Well, my brothers and sisters, my brothers, my dear, dear, dear brothers and sisters, that does it for today's broadcast. That does it for today. Now, remember, Sister Marie and I will be in studio tomorrow. We're going to have a change of pace. We're going to be talking about something completely different. We're going to be talking about the muzzling, the silencing of Christ's church, and it's coming. There's going to come a day when I won't be able to do this anymore. There'll come a day. There'll come a day. And it's coming soon. It's coming soon. It's already in England. You can't preach Jesus in England. You can't say that Jesus is the only way. They will arrest you and throw you in jail, as you will soon discover tomorrow night at 7 p.m. I want to leave you with this hymn, In Christ Alone. In Christ, folks. We don't want any human head. We don't want any presidents of any organizations. Away with those prelates. And away with those metropolitans, away with those archbishops. They're crazy. They got mush in their brains. They got tons of mush in their brain. And may I say, if you guys over there are up to it, you guys, by you guys, I mean you guys over there at the Joint College of African American Bishops, if any one of you wants to meet me at the schoolyard at 3 o'clock, you know where to find me. I'm here every day. You want to go mano a mano? I'm here every day. You want to come and kick some can? I dare you. I dare you to come and kick some can. I dare you to come on the radio and try to kick some can. Well, the invitation is open. The invitation is open. I'm outnumbered. There's hundreds of you guys. There's hundreds of you African-American dopey jackass and the Houston bishops. There's hundreds of you. Let's see. Which one of you has what it takes to just get in the square circle? Get in the square circle with this old mangy junkyard dog. I'm Christ's junkyard dog, and I've been barking, and I've been chasing, but I'm itching to bite. Which one of those jackasses over there is going to let me bite them? In Christ alone. In Christ alone. God bless you, saints. Tune in tomorrow, 7 p.m.
light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And now he stands in victory, since God has lost his grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood.